Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to see you all here to worship at Zion. I'm glad to be back for my fifth Sunday, I guess, that I've been leading you guys so far through my vicarage. It's exciting times. I know there's a few announcements. Do you have any, Diane? We can go ahead and begin with our opening hymn, LSB 525.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee. Thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Virgin Son, the God incarnate born, whose arm those crimson trophies won, etch now his brow adorn. Fruit of the mystic rose, yet of that rose the stem, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. Angels in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bend their wandering eyes at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worlds above. Crown him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown him with many crowns, as thrones before him fall. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is King of all.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was glad when they said to me,
let us go into the house of the Lord.
Christ Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant,
so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance.
Scripture says, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Let us prepare to receive forgiveness and cleansing from God our Savior by confessing our need and repentance of our sin. Lord God, we come before you this day, seeking your mercy and grace for the forgiveness of our sins and the cleansing of our lives. We confess to you all our sins, both the wrong we have done, as well as the love we have withheld, and the good we have failed to do for others. Lord, have mercy on us. God be merciful to us and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, we have been forgiven.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Grant us so firmly to believe in your Son, Jesus, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifices of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will have the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into an offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite any children forward for a brief children's message. How are you this morning?
Good.
Now, do you know what happened in our gospel reading? Did you listen to what Jesus said to those scribes? What they were doing? They liked being in the spotlight. And do you guys know people like that, maybe at school, that they just like getting attention? No, not at all. Well, you probably will see it eventually. There are going to be people that like just kind of being in the spotlight. They'll take their stuff. Like, they might like to talk about their video game consoles all the time. They got the newest, greatest thing. And it'll kind of make you feel a bit jealous. You kind of want that. And maybe they do it on purpose. Maybe they don't. But what does Jesus talk about with those scribes? Do you hear what he said in the gospel lesson? No? Well, Jesus said that they have a problem, that they're spending too much time focused on their wealth and their possessions, and they like going out and greeting people in the marketplaces, which is basically the way to go and socialize and get a better status. It's kind of like movie stars that like to go out and just be in the spotlight all the time. So what Jesus points out is that they don't really have humility. You know what that means? Humility? No? It's not really being showboaty. You don't want to show off about yourself, but you want to be humble and kind and nice and care for others. So instead of using your gifts to kind of build yourself up and point back to you and make a name for yourself and show off, Jesus is saying that that widow who had absolutely nothing, but she gave that little penny. Have you guys even seen a penny? I know they're not really useful anymore. You have? Okay. That little penny, you know, it's not worth too much, right? But that's what she put in. But Jesus said that hers was greater. Now, why is that?
Because she had nothing.
And those scribes, they had these big sacks of gold that they just would drop. So it makes a nice clinking noise, and it goes into the little money box, and they wanted to show off their money because they thought that it made them look kind of cool. But what Jesus says is that widow who gave everything that she had was actually the greater person because she actually had her faith in God, that he was going to provide for her, and that she wasn't trying to show off and show everything that she had and just showboat, but she was trying to have her faith in God and that he would provide for her. And that's what we do in our faith, that we know that God will provide for us, right? Good, I'm glad. Well, you guys want to pray with me? Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have taught us to be humble. With all the gifts you have given us. So that we don't show off about ourselves. But so we can show others what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. And now we will sing our hymn of the day, LSB 555. And notice it's only four of the verses out of that hymn, too.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Our thanks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. What God God did in his law demand, and none to him could render, caused wrath and woe on every hand, for man the vile offender. Our flesh has not those pure desires, the spirit of the law requires, and lost is our condition. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone, and rests in him unceasing. And by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, work, serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living.
Lord, may the meditation of my heart and my words be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. As I kind of described to the kids, we might all know of someone that is maybe a bit full of themselves, has a bit of an ego. And I think oftentimes in our culture, it kind of portrays itself similar to those scribes, guys that are kind of flaunting their money, showboating what they have in life, and always focused on identifying themselves based off of their wealth or their possessions, or maybe even just generally trying to show off, and they just like being in the spotlight. And we see that quite often. And you know, these scribes, they, above anyone else, enjoyed these lives of this rich authority and this rich showboating, and they liked their garments. They liked going around and greeting people and showing off their status to everyone else. They had their fancy robes that probably went all the way down to the feet, because that was a big deal then, to have a nice long robe that covered everything. But they were going around, and the one thing that they clearly lacked was humility. And they enjoyed these lofty positions so much that they lost sight of the greater point of Scripture, because as the scribes, their whole purpose was to go out and teach the people the Word of God, so that the Word of God was on their lips, that the name of God was on their lips, but instead, they now have put their names on the lips of men instead of God's, because they just want to show off what they have. And I think, if I think of a very specific example in our times, there's a pretty well-known actor that I think a lot of you guys might have actually grown up watching. He was known to be pretty early on in Saturday Night Live, and he also is known for those Family Vacation movies, only two of which are really pretty good. Chevy Chase was a pretty egotistical guy, and he still is. I don't know if you guys know about how nasty he is, but the reason you don't see him around in the public anymore, or that he has any movies, is that people can't stand to work with the guy. He's kind of a pain. He would go around the set at SNL, and he's so famous for being there, but he's not allowed back. He can't host the show anymore because they can't stand working with him, because he was such a nasty guy to the people on the set that they said, "We're done with you. We can't put up with you." The directors don't even want him back. And so he kind of forgot that in all of this, that he lacked humility, he lacked all these things. And I've even heard stories of him going out in public to a restaurant, and he thinks that he is just royalty, and he expects everybody there should just wait on him the whole time. And these are the types of people that Jesus is warning about. That these guys that use their places of authority and their fame and wealth and lack humility, they're all in it for themselves. And I don't think he was a great example of what it means to be humble. And so those who we hold in high status in society also have the places of honor, typically. You know, a lot of people really liked Chevy Chase, and they really liked him because of how funny he was, but then once all these things came out, he kind of fell apart, and he doesn't really get much spotlight anymore. He's still fine in life, but he still thinks he's God's great gift to earth. He's the greatest gift to earth. But I think some of these are certainly seen in religious figures, too. You know, how many times, if we maybe turn on the TV to, like, the televangelist, especially, some of these guys are fine, they're all right, and they actually want to preach the word of God, but these religious figures that are on, you can kind of see it in how they act. They lavish themselves with great things, they build up their name, they build up a company for themselves, and they build up this overwhelming background of wealth and fame, and that is how they use it to show that God has their favor, and that's exactly what the scribes did, is that the scribes thought that God's favor was clearly given to them because they just had a bunch of stuff. And you see this with some of these televangelists, and this is the type of people that Jesus described as devouring the widows' houses. These televangelists, you can see it in their preaching, the way they say health, wealth, and family. If you got that, Jesus loves you, you're all set. But see, they forget that actually Jesus ultimately came for all people in all places and all parts of life. It's not about what you have this side of earth. It's not about those earthly blessings, but it was really about Christ coming to us in human form and dying for us. And, I mean, Jesus is the greatest example of giving up all wealth and honor and majesty because he's God in the flesh, and he put that aside to become a mere man. I think that shows us something. The place of honor actually belongs to God alone. And that's what most of these people are missing. So all those earthly blessings are well and good. And wealth is not the problem here, folks. It's not that Jesus is going, can't have money, but it's the fact that they're using these God-given blessings, these God-given gifts, to build their own name up instead of pointing back to Jesus. And so they misused those gifts by neglecting the people that they were so humbly supposed to serve there, and to put the name of God out to the world and put it on their lips, but instead now their own name is being spread about as, oh, did you see such and such scribe? He had that giant, giant sack of money. They forgot it. And you know, I think a professor of mine nailed it on some of these things. He said this, or something along the lines, great people have greater temptations and fall to greater sins. And by great, he's not meaning that the scribes are somehow better than us. He's meaning that since they have such authority, such fame, such kind of a spotlight in society, and all this money, they have far greater temptations than what kind of the average person deals with, and that's exactly what they fall victim to. They let all this go to their head. They let it all kind of break them down, whittle them down, and now they just only care about building up their name. And the scribes had this great authority, but they fell victim to that temptation. And then it neglects their faith in God and also the faith of the people around them. And now, like I said, maybe we don't have that same temptation as great people, as that one professor of mine said. But I think we do sometimes have a tendency to rank people socially about their status. We'll rank people's status based off of how they've made it in life, if they have a lot of things, if they don't have to worry about what's going on. And so in society, we judge someone's status by their things a lot of times. And you see that especially in Hollywood. I mean, everybody's trying to one-up themselves with if they can have 10 mansions versus 20, whatever it is that they do. So we tend to view each other based off of those things. And so a status based upon personal success and a position in life can become the goal of those God-given gifts instead of building up God's name, and then we just build up our own. So we become reliant upon these gifts as a way to judge if we've made it in life, and that includes the wealth that these scribes are flaunting so obviously. But notice that I'm calling them gifts, which means there's something that we can do with them. And since there are these the great blessings from God, these blessings can then be used to serve our neighbor and care for others. And in doing so, and when we use them in humility like we're supposed to, it actually takes ourselves out of the mix. We stop relying upon those God-given gifts in this side of eternity, and we actually focus upon just the care and love of others. And then those God-given gifts can then take our name out of the mix entirely. And then it focuses upon what God gave us to do, the work that he has given us to do. And this is what the scribes had missed, is that Jesus had emphasized in this text next. And I think that there's something that makes us a bit uncomfortable about what he says about the scribes. So he says they will receive the greater condemnation. But what does that mean? It kind of doesn't sound great, obviously. But is their sin unforgivable? What is he meaning by that? And of course, I'm Lutheran. I'm not going to tell you his sins are unforgivable. But what he's saying is that this greater condemnation is that they've had this great authority, this great wealth and honor that they now love so much, and instead of using it rightly, and their job was to point people to Jesus, and focusing upon themselves so much, they are now, in some ways, starting to lose their faith. And so the greater condemnation is not this specific sin, but it's that any sin left unchecked leads to a lack of faith, and it'll eventually have people fall away. And that's what Jesus is calling them out for, because they, out of all people, knew the whole Old Testament, they knew the Scripture, and yet they rather were building up their name instead of others, and instead of God's especially. And they forgot that all honor and glory should have been given back to God. And they especially lost sight that all earthly blessings are from God alone. And we sometimes can lose sight of this and maybe, like I said, rank ourselves based off of our social status in life, wherever that might rank. But so the praise then comes not to the one who equipped us to have these blessings, but then it also goes back to us. And so Jesus has equipped us with all these things. He's given us all that we need in body and soul, but it's not just for us. And of course, we do have achievements, so please don't hear me as saying, well, Vicar said, I can't celebrate any achievement in life, because we do have birthdays and career milestones and anniversaries, and those things should be celebrated. Just like wealth, it can be celebrated, but don't let it be your sole identity. And that's what these scribes were doing, was that it became their identity. That I like going to the marketplace, not because I want to share the word of God, but because I like it when people shake my hand. And they also just like showing off all of their stuff. And like I said, out of all the people, they should have known that these blessings were not an indicator of whether or not God loved them more, but instead, it should have been a sign of, God has blessed me with these gifts. Now I can go and serve people even greater. And they studied the Scripture far more than the average person, and that's why this is a great temptation, like I said, for those televangelists and those people that are raised up in the faith, because if they're up here and they love speaking and being in front of people so much and they just start inflating their ego more and more and more and it's about what they say and not the word of God that they are proclaiming, then it becomes a problem. And then it can become about a personality rather than the word of God. And so they allowed their name to be the focus. But Jesus didn't end our text there. He kept going. And I think that's also pretty significant. So right after admonishing these scribes, Jesus also pointed out that widow. And knowing how these money-changing boxes worked, there's just probably a line of people coming in and they drop their money. So she could be right behind these scribes. And who knows, maybe she feels guilty because she can't give more. So this woman, giving all she had to live on, did so because she trusted the Lord, just like I told the kids. She wasn't doing so to build a name for herself. She knew she had very little, but she knew that the Lord would provide for her, and she had little concern over her status among others. That status, societally, she didn't care if she was high in authority, or she's going to make it with a bunch of money, or if she was going to be on the lips of men forever. And I think that's also important. Notice Jesus doesn't name a single person here. Their names aren't important. His name is, but their names weren't important. So she's not building this name for herself, but that this is what matters the most. This is the big point of this text. Status matters to man, but faith matters to God. And that's what the scribes had lost long ago. They're so focused on this wealth, they're so focused on their well-being and showboating that they lacked their faith. And what I think is actually interesting is if they actually knew the scriptures, they would know that their faith actually gives them a status. It gives them something of a greater status in eternity, a greater status than anything in this world can accomplish. And that's what the widow that Jesus directed attention to showed in her opposite demeanor of the scribes. She approached putting in her offering with humility and lowliness, not focusing on her status, not focusing on a name for herself, but she donated in faith, trusting that she was taken care of. And if the scribes were to have done the same thing and spread the word of God instead of their own, just imagine what they could have done and how many people more might have actually believed in Jesus right away. That didn't happen that way, and that's okay. And so the danger of this text is, though, it's not something about, like, Jesus making a social point that, oh, the rich people are bad and the poor person, oh, she's good. But he's pointing out her humility, of course. We know that. But it's also to show, again, how that relates to our faith. And the scribes could have done this themselves. And Jesus isn't talking about all the scribes. He's talking probably about some of them, not all of them. He doesn't say all the scribes do this. But it's focusing on the status that we earn through Christ's death. And that is greater than all earthly blessings. And no earthly status can compare to what Christ won for us, and the greatest blessing of all. Instead of this foolish trust in our own position in life, and instead of building up everything to be about us, we can recognize that Christ's sacrifice is the most important. And this status is the only one that truly matters. Because when I die, it's not coming with me. If I build up my namesake, what, maybe I'm remembered for a few history books? But after that, I'm lost to history. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is the status given in faith. And that means we should be like that widow, embracing the faith in the Lord. And so the things of this world will never add up to that status received in faith. It will never add up to the richness that we receive in faith. And the scribes that Jesus described got that greater condemnation because they used those gifts contrary to the way he intended them to. And so, in doing so, they're building a name for themselves, idolizing their own personality, and now they've lost their faith. Or at least, if they're not there, they're pretty close. But the widow understood that her status, though poor here on earth, was rich before God in faith. And that is important. She humbly offered all that she had, trusting that the Lord would preserve her until that day. So this is our proper stance as Christians, that we do have earthly wealth, we have earthly blessings, we have all these gifts from God, and we should look at our blessings as gifts, because there's something that we could disappear in a day. Just think of Job. But in faith, we recognize that Christ has made us rich for all eternity. And those earthly blessings that we have are great and should be used with respect to our faith and humility and love. And they should serve as a reminder that Christ graciously lavished us with all of his gifts and his blessings in his death and has made us rich for all eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we will go ahead and bring forward our tithes and offerings.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God his own doth tend and children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. Is the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Please rise for prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you have abundantly bestowed upon us all earthly blessings. Grant that we are good stewards of these blessings, not looking to them for hope, but always in humility, holding faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, always as our eternal hope. We pray for the whole church, that you may uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim your word and teach it. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy. Allow this transition to be smooth and that the appropriate path might be revealed moving forward. We also lift before you all those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Gary, Bill, Bryceton, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Dan, and Ron. Grant that they might receive compassion and healing, and give to them your peace. We pray for this nation and for our President Joe and President-elect Donald, guiding all in authority to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. Lord, grant a fruitful harvest this fall season and bless the hands working the ground, giving thanks for all that you give us in body and soul. And Lord, we especially also remember those who have served in our military. Grant them peace in their service and also guide them to be godly in all that they do. And we say a special prayer of thanksgiving that they have offered their service to us in defending what you have so graciously blessed us with here and now in this country. Lord, trusting in your promises, Lord, we boldly pray the prayer that you taught us to pray.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive
our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and to be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his countenance and give us his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, LSB 803.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, their Son above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flash. rushing sea.